And for the message this morning, I'm going to need help. So if you are a kid, I need you to come on up here. So come on up. We're just going to sit around the manger. So come on up. Rock on. All right. Woo-hoo. Okay, go ahead and grab a seat, because if you're standing, you're just going to feel so, so awkward. All right. Sweet. You guys are all right. I'm going to sit with you guys for a little bit. No guarantees we'll be able to get back up. All right. Did you guys have a good Christmas? All right. Out of curiosity, how many of you are wearing something right now that you got for Christmas? Two. All right. Oh, three, four. You got socks? I got these socks last year. Yeah, I like these. Okay, I have a trick for you. My brother and I learned this when we were kids. If you're in church and you feel like you're about ready to fall asleep, because it happens, never here, right? It happens. The Sunday after Christmas, if you ever feel like you're falling asleep in church, an easy way to wake up is start looking around and guessing how many people are wearing something they got for Christmas. Because there's a bunch of them out there. So here's what I need you to do. Stand up. Stand up. There you go. I need you to look out there. All right, ready? If you're wearing something you got for Christmas, raise your hand. See? They're out. Holy cow! Back row. All right. Apparently a big family. Okay, so. All right, let's sit down. Sit down. I'm going to teach you another trick. If you're falling asleep in church. Because it happens. If you ever feel like you start to fall asleep in church, and it's not the Sunday after Christmas, a great way to wake up, I'm not kidding, this works. My brother and I learned this. You look around for other people that are starting to fall asleep. I don't know why, it totally wakes you up. So, for any of the adults in the room, I'm not making eye contact right now. If you ever feel like you're starting to fall asleep, just look around for someone else starting to fall asleep, it'll wake you up. I guarantee it. Okay. What's your favorite thing about Christmas? What's your favorite thing? Presents? Presents?
Celebrating God.
Celebrating God? Okay, let's start. We'll go with the presents. We'll get to God. All right. What was the best present you got this year? You got a what? You got a Lego set? Very cool. Parents think Legos are cool, except for when they go into your room at night and the lights are off. And they're barefoot. At that moment, your parents don't like Legos. All the rest of the time, they think they're cool. What's some of the other presents you got this year? It was a long time ago. You got a Nerf gun? Oh, you shoot your eye out. Okay. It's a little Ryder BB gun moment there. I like it, though. Anybody else? What'd you get? You got a Lego set, too? Man, that was the present this year. How many of you guys have Legos? Okay, now, do you like doing the Legos where you make it exactly like it shows on the box, or do you like to make your own creation?
I like it showed
on the box? On the box. Okay, how many of you are like, I want to follow the instructions, do what's on the box? How many are like, I'm doing my own thing?
Yes.
All right. I know who's going to rule the world. Okay. How many of you have already broken something you got for Christmas? There's some people in the back that started laughing because they probably did. You already did? Oh, high five. Well done. All right. What are some other things you like about Christmas? We got presents. How many of you guys like eating at Christmas? Okay, what's your favorite thing to eat at Christmas? Turkey? Nice. How many of you guys like the cookies? Christmas cookies?
Yeah.
All right. How many of you guys, my favorite thing at Christmas, there is a lady in Washington who sends me homemade caramels every year for Christmas. And there's a family in this church that made me Pepphernieces. If you don't know what a Pepphernieces is, the person in blue right there, she can tell you. They're these cool little cookies. Pepphernieces, it's I think it's German for peppercorn. Peppernut?
Peppernut.
Peppernut. You think, wow, that sounds like a great cookie. Pepper and nuts. Actually, they're really good. How many of you guys like Christmas songs? You guys like them? All right, for the adults, how many of you guys like Christmas songs? All right, I'm going to turn it over to the adults for a second here. This section, what's a favorite Christmas song?
Silent Night.
Okay, I have to tell the story. Silent Night's a beautiful song, but my family cannot sing Silent Night with a straight face. I mean, if you were here on Christmas Eve, we closed the service with Silent Night, I was standing right under that post because I didn't want to stand right here because you would have all seen me laughing during Silent Night. Here's why. When we were growing up, my family was not the musical family. It still isn't. But one year, my little brother, he must have been about seventh grade, got chosen to sing a solo in the children's music pageant. The Stells never got asked to do solos, ever, ever, ever. So when they asked Eric to do it, my brother said, yes! He was to sing Silent Night solo. He practiced and he practiced and he practiced. The day of the performance comes, my brother Eric gets up front, and he's so afraid of the high notes in the song that he starts out really low to make sure he can get there later on. Problem is, I kid you not, this is how the song sounded. No sound at all. My dad was sitting next to me and tears streaming down his face and laughing so hard. So now, every time Silent Night comes on, my family... And the best part, my brother is now an Episcopalian priest, so we'd always go to the midnight mass at his church, and when Silent Night would come on, everything holy and righteous about the evening is out the window for our row, as we just look at Father Eric going, okay, any other songs that are your favorite Christmas songs, this section? Oh, Holy Night? That one's really, really good. We're singing that one later on in service. This section, a song? I come and look at the Colts to ask for songs. There with my brother Eric. This section?
Joy to the World.
Joy to the World? All right. Which we learned last year isn't necessarily a Christmas song. Oh, there's more to it than just that. This section, we're going to get down here. First Noel, what do we have over here?
Mary
Did You Know. That one gets on the radio a bunch. All right, how about down here? Any favorites? Jingle Bells?
You're a
Need One. Yes! Rich one. Where else can you get the word crocodile in a Christmas song? Is it alligator or crocodile?
No, it's a seasick crocodile.
There we go. Seasick crocodile. And in Jingle Bells, you get to say the words upsot. It means that this sleigh goes into a snowbank and there got turned upside down. It's just not something you ever use in regular language. Okay, one of my favorite things about Christmas is the decorations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How many of you guys ended up getting lights on your house at some place? All right. Yeah. I love Christmas decorations. Do you guys ever drive around and look at the different decorations on different streets? Do you find out which streets have the cool decorations?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, now, here's one of the things that I like. Okay. I like these. I like the candles. The candles at Christmas are really, really cool. Because, well, one, they look cool. And two, they all mean something. All right? Now, who can tell me what this candle is all about? Go for it. Yep, it's all about the baby Jesus. It's called the Christ candle. And the problem is, we don't light that one right away. We don't light this one until Christmas Eve. So all December, we just wait for this one to get lit. Because, we want Jesus to come. We want Jesus to come, but he's not here yet because it's not Christmas yet. And so all December, we wait for that one. But while we wait, we start lighting some of the others. So, this one. Who wants to light this one? Come on, man. You have the Grinch. Grinch definitely gets to like this one. All right. And he's using guidance. So I'm going to hold it on. You got it? Well done. All right. Okay, wait. We're not going to get to the others yet. This one is called the Hope Candle. Here's the deal with Hope. When we talk about hope, we're not going, man, I hope some good stuff happens. When the Bible's talking about hope, that's not what it's talking about. Going, man, we could really use some good news. I hope it comes. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is actually going, you know what? I know that Jesus is coming. I know this because God said so, and God is totally trustworthy. And so hope is going, man, I have hope because I know that God's going to do what God says he's going to do. And so while we're waiting, while we're waiting for Jesus, well, we have lots of hope because we know Jesus is coming. Anybody know which candle this one is? You want to take a guess?
Joy.
Joy? Close. That one's coming. It is the peace candle. Come on up. You need to light something on fire. From now on, we're going to use this over here. All right. We're going to be a little more liturgical, actual candles. All right, here we go. We'll light this one up. Anything you need? All right. Blow it out for me. There we go. You got a wish. Okay. Okay, this one is the peace candle. Okay, I'll teach a word. Can you guys all say shalom?
Shalom.
You guys can too. It's a Hebrew word. It's the one that we say is peace. But here's the thing. Shalom is not that everything's fine. It's like all bad things have stopped. No, no, no. Shalom is saying that everything that's broken is going to be made whole again. That which is broken is going to get fixed. And here's the thing. We need Jesus if we're ever going to have shalom. If things are going to get fixed, all the broken stuff, if it's going to get fixed, we need Jesus. That's why we like this one. All right, so we got, which one was this one?
Hope. Joy.
Peace. Next one is?
Joy.
Joy. All right, hop on up, dude. Good job, good job. Handshake first. All right, here we go. I'll have this one. All right, you got this? Kids and fire and hay. This is a great one. All right. I'll blow that out. Well done. All right. Okay, joy. This one's joy. Does joy mean that you're never sad?
No.
A lot of people think, oh, joy means no sadness. And that's just not true. What are some things that make you sad?
Your dog dies.
Your dog dies. Actually, I wrote that one down. It's actually on my notes. If your dog dies, totally sad. We had one of our dogs die this year. Totally sad. Yeah. Yeah, to give your dog away. It's totally sad. Yeah. You have to give something away that's really important to you. Totally sad. When you lose a loved one, someone passes, or you have to move, or your friend moves. Totally sad. But here's the deal. Joy doesn't mean that sad stuff doesn't happen. Joy means, oh my goodness, I have such confidence in who God is that I know in the end, God wins. And I'm with him. It's this overflowing confidence. All right, which one's this one?
Hope.
Hope.
Peace. Joy.
Which brings us to?
Love.
Oh, there we go. You know, a sixth grade boy could just say, just freely, love. I can respect that. Come on, man. There we go. Go ahead and light that up. Nice. All right. I'm going to teach you guys about love real quick. One of my favorite ways to describe love. And by the way, preview coming, our February sermon series is What's Love Got to Do With It? And it's going to be a whole month looking what the Bible actually says about love. And so, one of the things the Bible says about love is a Greek word, agape. Best definition I've ever heard of agape is to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for the other person. So when it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his son, for God so agape the world, for God so intelligently and intentionally did what is best for all of us, that he gave us
his son.
His son, the son's name is?
Jesus!
Who wants to do this one?
Jesus.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to go. I saw that one first. Come on up here.
All right. Like we're all taking turns.
Yes, you did. All right. Here's the thing, you guys. Watch this. Because Jesus has come, we have hope.
Peace.
We have peace.
Joy.
We have joy.
Love.
And we know love because Jesus has come. But now, this is important for all of us. The celebration of Christmas is coming to an end. I know, it's kind of a bummer. You go back to school. Well, that's kind of a celebration for other people in the room. But the celebration of Christmas is coming to an end. The decorations will start to come down. All the leftovers will finally be finished. Toys will be lost and broken. The celebration is coming to an end. But the celebration of Christmas is ending, but the work of Christmas is just starting. Ha-ha, you didn't know there was work involved. The celebration of Christmas is ending. The work of Christmas is just starting. Because watch this, you guys. If you look around the world right now, do you guys see a lot of hope in our world? Seems like there's not a ton of hope evident in our world. How much peace do we see in the world right now? Not much. Is there a lot of joy in our world right now?
No.
No?
No, not very much love.
Not very much love. Not nearly enough. Here's the thing. This is the world we live in. The celebration of Christmas is coming to an end. The work of Christmas is just beginning. Because Jesus, who is the light of the world, said in the Sermon on the Mount that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Because we have Jesus, we have hope, and we have peace, and we have joy, and we have love. And Jesus says, I want you, and 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 all of you to partner with me in bringing hope to the world. Because the celebration of Christmas is ending, but the work of Christmas just getting started. Because we're supposed to bring hope to a world in need. We're supposed to bring
peace.
We need to partner with Jesus in mending that which is broken. Physically, relationally, spiritually, we get to help mend. And as a result, we get to share our reckless confidence with other people. And what do we get to do to other people? Yes, we do. We get to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for other people. Celebration of Christmas is ending. The work of Christmas is just beginning. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all that these candles represent. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the hope and peace and joy and love that we know because of him. But God, help us not to be a people that simply celebrate in December and then forget that the good news isn't just for us. But we get to do the work of Christmas in partnering with your Son, Jesus, and sharing hope and joy and peace and love with all peoples. God, empower us and embolden us to do just that. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Amen.
All right. You guys, thank you for helping.